This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kaniton and Noel Lim. It's 7:18 in the morning, Wednesday the 30th of December. And in about half an hour, we're speaking with Jeffrey Williams, professor at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology, on the long-term effects of the pandemic on private higher education. We're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio. What are we asking today, Roshan?
Well, we're asking you, as higher education services go online, can local universities compete with foreign players? Tell us why or why not right now. 32% say yes, 48%, 47% say no, and 21% don't know.
All right, do continue to let us know what you think on that. A comment on the poll if you'd like to tell us your thoughts. In the meantime, we are reviewing the IPO scene in 2020 because around the world, stock market listings raised more money than any year other than 2007. Globally, businesses raised $300 billion through flotations, including a record $159 billion in the US, according to Refinitiv. But here in Malaysia, we also saw our fair share of IPOs. Mr. DIY's listing in October was one of the largest in the region, raising over $360 million. So we thought we'd check in on the companies that have gone public this year and see how they're faring. And for that, we are speaking this morning with Wong Ka Chun, Disruptive Events Advisory Leader at Deloitte Malaysia. Good morning, Ka Chun. Thank you for joining us. So in total, there were 18 IPOs in Malaysia this year, despite the weak economy and low interest rates. What compelled these companies to seek listing instead of borrowing?
Good morning and pleasure to be here again to give some input on the Malaysian IPO environment. That's a good question. So one of the key reasons for companies to go listing is to seek equity funding. So and a listing exercise is normally not a simple submit an application to the authorities only. There's a lot of pre-IPO work that needs to be done prior to submission and subsequently approval by authorities. So what we have seen so far that the IPOs that are listed this year would have probably started their preparation work some time ago. I would say at least a minimum a year ago in terms of getting ready for the listing. So the positive market during the pandemic have actually continued to spur them to list in 2020 instead of deferring to other years. Good example, as you mentioned, is Mr. DIY. I think the news of Mr. DIY IPO has been in the market for a few years prior to its listing. So, and secondly, I would say one key reason for listing is the listing status of companies and subsequent access to other funds. When you are listed, companies access to funds, especially borrowings, will be much easier because of listing status in comparison to SME. So banks and financial institutions tend to have slightly easier access to funds to listed companies because their listing status as well as the bank's ability to look at regular financial information of the companies. So those were the, I think, two key reasons why the weak economy have also helped certain companies to go listing.
I was wondering, given it was a record number of IPOs last year, in your estimation or maybe to your knowledge, were there many more companies that had planned to list this year but opted not to?
I think in some media reports early of 2020, prior to the pandemic, I think Bursa had mentioned that they were expecting more. So, of course, some would have deferred because of the pandemic. Some would think that it's a good time to list. So I think those that would defer would probably see it in 2021 or 2022, I presume.
Now, the number of IPOs were lower than the record 30 listings that Noel mentioned earlier, but the amount of funds that were raised was higher, slightly higher. Why was the market so optimistic about these IPOs, or was it really down to just Mr. DIY here?
I think so. I mean, the higher amount raised is actually fueled by one really big IPO, which is the listing of Mr. DIY Group. I think Mr. DIY raised $1.5 billion of the total $2 billion fundraise in Malaysia. So, but generally, I think why market is optimistic about certain IPO is, I think firstly, it's based on the industry that you are in. So although the pandemic has negatively impacted a lot of industry, but we also see certain positive impact from the pandemic. I think certain industries will continue to thrive as well. So industries like glove, pharmaceutical, healthcare, and technology companies. So if you are this company seeking listing, you will continue to enjoy good market support and participation.
One thing that happened in the market also, retail participation came back. So do you expect this retail optimism to continue into next year or maybe only for selected counters or sectors?
I think from a perspective with the low interest rate, I think the stock market will continue to garner a lot of retail support as an alternative investment to for them to invest. So I presume this momentum will continue on in 2021.
So looking at back now from this perspective at the end of the year, how have the companies that have gone public this year performed so far? I mean, who's done best from a share price perspective?
Looking at the end of the year, I would have to give the best new IPO performance award to Mr. DIY Group. You know, comparing all the new listing in 2020, Mr. DIY did incredibly well in terms of the absolute gain amount. From a listing price of 160, it is now traded at 3 ringgit, which is approximately 89% increase. That's an absolute increase of 140. So historically, I've shown some big market cap listing generally may not do that well in terms of share price during its first year of listing. Some key major listing in previous years like Lotte Chemical in 2017 or Leong Hub in 2019 did not fare well in its first year of listing from a share price perspective. So considering that Mr. DIY is in the league of the big market cap companies, for them to do well in the first year is really amazing. And Mr. DIY market cap is now bigger than some of the banks in Malaysia as well.
So looking to 2021 then, what are some of the disruptive events you could expect in the year? Are you paying attention to anything?
I think from a perspective, there will be a lot more participation from the retail sector, definitely, retail customers, definitely, and companies that is in the selected industries like, I presume, glove manufacturers, pharmaceutical and tech companies. If those companies are going for listing, they will probably garner a bit more support.
Any black swans though, are there some disruptive events that could happen in 2021 that we should look out for, given that even though buying momentum may continue in the stock market?
From a perspective, I don't think so. I think there will be a lot more. I mean, from a perspective of disruptive event, companies are seeking listing, will have to change the way they do their business, you know, and one of the key things is to increase their digital platform users. So that will be something that companies are seeking to kind of upgrade themselves to actually access to bigger markets.
So, Kachun, just looking at the region, just looking outside of Malaysia, where does Malaysia stand in the region? Because if we look at Thailand, they had some big IPOs, notably names like Sri Trung and CRC. And I think they occupy the top two places in the listing.
I would agree with you on the statement. I think Thailand had done extremely well for the last 2 years in the IPO space. I think the main reason a successful listing is having the right formula. I think meaning having the right timing of the listing and the type of business listed. This is what happened in Thailand. Thailand had three major IPOs in 2020 and two out of three were listed during the pandemic period. These two companies are both in essential services business. SCG Packaging Company Limited is in the packaging businesses. Sri Trung Glove is in the glove businesses, have a combined funds raise of USD 1.7 billion. I think from a Malaysia perspective, judging that we are in unusual times and in a pandemic, we did pretty okay. I think we can proudly say that we are one of the top five listings in the region in the name of Mr. DIY and also a decent number of listings.
Thanks very much for speaking with us this morning, Kachun. That was Wong Kachun, Disruptive Events Advisory Leader over at Deloitte Malaysia, giving us a perspective of how the IPO landscape has looked like so far this year.
Yeah, you know, when we're talking about the biggest listings, we talk about Mr. DIY, I couldn't help but think about the fact that as this is happening, we're seeing the privatization of FGV, which was the biggest listing in 2012, right? That time, FGV, Felda Global Ventures Holdings, was expected to raise 10.5 billion ringgit based on an indicative retail price of 4 ringgit 55 cent per share. It's now, what, trading? They're going to take it private at 1 ringgit 30 cent. So it's, I mean, when it comes to the mega cap listings, these are always kind of those inherent risks, right? But I guess it's good to see that Mr. DIY is carrying some momentum there.
Yeah, so my curiosity is really what will happen in 2021, what disruptive events will happen. I think there's a lot of expectations that the US dollar will continue to weaken as the Fed remain very accommodative and keep interest rates really low. So maybe more hot money will come into emerging markets like ours, and then we might see more interest in maybe even private companies in rubber glove making and healthcare. They may seek for listing next year.
Yeah, I know, Lynn, you mentioned earlier that the US saw that global flotation saw $300 billion, right, in IPOs in raise over equity this year. Keep in mind that that excludes the fact that the Ant IPO didn't go through. So there could have been more money in equity markets raised.
Yeah, so it's been a surprisingly robust year, all things considered, when it comes to the IPO landscape. And the question, of course, is this momentum going to continue into 2021? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But up next, we're going to be speaking with Dan Ives of Wedbush Securities on whether tech will remain the hot ticket in the year to come. But right now, we're heading into the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.